The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
We are planning our financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to see you all on this day.
Good morning, Scott. Morning, Mitch.
Good morning, guys.
So, you know, you were talking about this, or maybe it was a rant, Don, I'm not sure, a week or two ago about bear trusts and how confusing this was. And of course, a lot of us were glazed over. We didn't know what the heck they were. But it looks like they backtracked on the bear trust. However, not so lucky with the carbon tax. They didn't backtrack on any of that. So you go ahead. I was wondering what you were thinking.
Oh, man, you set me up so well on this one, Scott. Yeah, anybody looking at the gas pumps this week's like, whoa, what happened? So oil prices go up? No, that was a carbon tax. So no, they did not change that one, unfortunately. However, you know, there's a lot of accountants with bags under their eyes and tax preparers and thinking they were trying to get this bear trust tax return done because the deadline was April the 2nd. They last second with 2 days to go, they decided to pull the plug on that. Now, I absolutely am happy about the whole idea that they did pull the plug. It made no sense to do this. You know, I think that what happened is they just cast out too big of a web and didn't realize they're going to catch so many people in this web that really they weren't interested in. And on top of that, there was no tax grab on this anyway. It was an information gathering whole program. So it really got a lot of information.
Not to mention how confusing it was. I mean, it takes professionals to understand it, and they had to put many, many hours into understanding this. And then you have just the common folk, and they're asking questions about if they have to pay stuff on joint accounts with their parents, and multiply that by the population. And think of the traffic of questions that were coming in regarding this. Oh, it's just, they were forced to do this.
Oh, accountants couldn't answer the phone. They were, if they had anything about bear trust, they didn't even reply. And in fact, some people tried to get a trust number in the final week and it was closed. They couldn't even get a trust number because I think they wore out the computer program trying to get this. So the computers were down. And, you know, when I first heard of this, I said, well, they'll change this. And as time went on, they came out with, well, we're not going to penalize people if they missed a deadline because it is somewhat confusing and we're going to give people a break. So I'm thinking, okay, well, it looks like they're going to go ahead with this, as idiotic as I thought it was. But anyway, literally, as the final days came out, they came out and says, you know what, we're going to not follow through with this. And this is kind of creating a bit of a normal, you know, this is kind of normal government here, because it wasn't long ago we had an underutilizing housing tax and they came out to the deadline. It was October of last year. The accountants again were working on this, charging fees, and they pulled that one right in the final couple of weeks. They gave a little longer on that one that they weren't going to, you know, continue with that tax. This one, how many fees were paid to tax preparers and accountants for things that now the government did not need? And there was a great article in the paper saying, I think you should mail your bill to your local MP and say, here's what I paid. This was not information that was necessary. I want my money back. Because of course, accountants did all the work. They should not, you know, they should not have to to get paid on this. And of course, the people paid their money and for nothing. So what are your thoughts on this, Scott?
Well, are you surprised in any way? I mean, you know, the Auditor General accused this government of lack of basic management practices. So this, again, just is par for the course. It's what we're experiencing. Well, the government is trying to sell its current budget every day until April 16th. So, you know, I guess I'm not surprised at this point. And like you said, unfortunately, it puts a lot of people in a bad predicament. You know, with a deadline hanging over their head, only to see a change. But I think we've seen a few changes, and maybe we'll be lucky enough to see a few more.
Like a very large change, but yes. So anyway, I can't get, there's no consolation prize. There's no money given back. Unfortunately, I personally believe that you should be able to put this on your tax return, that you paid this money, apply the receipt, and get refunded from the government for what you paid. That would be the only fair thing to do, because those law-abiding income tax prepared people that did all the work are now having, end up having it be a big accounting fee, and for no reason at all. So, and again, there's my little rant here, Scott. Thanks for getting me going on a nice Saturday morning.
No problem. And you now relax and enjoy your weekend, will you?
But on that note, yeah, there's lots, you know, there's a lot of great news, and, you know, the markets have done extremely well, and it comes down to, you know, it's kind of funny. I'll be talking about a bit of investor behavior, but, you know, clients often think, well, should I add monthly or should I put a lump sum into the market? Now, I always find this is generally during bad markets. When markets are going down, they just don't want to be in and wondering, okay, what happens if the market continues to go down? And I know, Mitch, you've been working on this a little bit lately.
Yeah, thanks for that great intro there. That was a whirlwind of emotions. And I know 2020 to 2024 was also a whirlwind of emotion for many investors. And so far, 2024 has been off to a great start. And 2023 ended very strongly. The majority of balanced mutual funds in 2023 would have gotten about 9% or higher. And so far in 2024, there have been many indexes reaching all-time highs again. The TSX, Dow Jones, S&P, they've all hit all-time highs. And as we have constant headlines and news about inflation pretty much down to where they want it to be, and interest rates are soon to follow, we're getting a few people more at ease about the market and are starting to want to invest their cash. They're currently sitting maybe in cash or maybe in money market, because that's been a pretty lucrative spot to be with these high interest rates. It's been about 4.5% to maybe even close to 5% on some GICs as well. So what should you do? Should you be investing it all in one go when the market is at all-time highs, or should you implement a strategy to systematically invest it over a period of weeks or months? Well, to conclude on that is that there's no one knows the answer for sure. We do have a crystal ball, as we've mentioned before, but we still don't know how to use it properly. but Vanguard did a study from 1976 to 2022. And for a 60-40 balanced portfolio, it was better off 68% of the time to put your funds in as a lump sum. And this does make sense, as about 1 out of 4 years is a down year. So depending on specific points, if they dollar cost average on a down year versus putting in a lump sum at the top, or this instance dollar cost averaging does beat lump sum. But if you're looking at the market, the odds are 75% of the time that the market's going to be a positive year when looking at a 1 year return. So 68% of the time, it's going to be better to put your money in a lump sum. But now if you take this information, you're thinking, I don't deposit anymore. I'm retired. I'm taking a RIF income for my investments. Dollar cost averaging does work the other way too. So taking from your RIF income monthly versus a lump sum is also a form of dollar cost averaging as well. You're just dollar cost averaging out of the market versus dollar cost averaging into the market. So if you are taking as a lump sum, you're basically betting that the market is going to go down. And like I mentioned before, most times the market does go up. So if you're looking to have a RIF strategy of a dollar cost, it is actually going to be better off 75% of the time to take it out monthly instead of a lump sum. So that's another different way of dollar cost averaging there. But dollar cost averaging, taking out monthly, it could be preferred by the risk averse investor. The same study by Vanguard did 10,000 simulations. And while lump sum did perform better majority of the time, it did come with more volatility, because you are putting your entire lump sum of funds in all in one go. So if you are risk averse, they did find it better off for client behavior to dollar cost average into the market. You might not have as big of a gains, but you're also going to avoid the downside of the volatility of bigger losses. So dollar cost averaging was preferred by the risk averse in these simulations, but the study did mention that even if you are risk averse, you should be doing this strategy over a short period of time, like such as 3 months, and not stretching it out over years. So even if you came into an inheritance of, let's say, $1 million, and you didn't in you're at the top of the market right now, you've got the S&P, the Dow, the TSX, they're all basically at all-time highs, and you're thinking, do I really want to put it in the market all in one lump sum? History says that you should. 68% of the time, it's going to work out better. But if you are risk averse and you want to dollar cost average, maybe think about doing that over 1 to 3 months. Maybe you do it weekly. It could be beneficial to do that.
It's kind of interesting, Mitch, when the markets are in a negative pattern, it's probably the best time to be putting a lump sum in because the markets have already dropped. And it's kind of, human behavior would say, oh, I don't want to put money in the market. Look what's been going on. But on the other hand, when the markets are hitting all-time highs, that's when people want to say, oh, I would like to put a lump sum in now, it's just going up. So again, it's just projection of where they think the market's going, and human behavior is generally wrong with this.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. One more recent strategy that was implemented was during COVID. I know people are still coming into inheritance. People are still coming into money. They're selling businesses. They're getting severance pays. They're getting large sums of money. Then the world still went around, even with COVID at that time. And the Dow Jones at that time was dropping, and other markets were dropping massively during that time. There was days that 500 to 1,000 point drops. And when we saw that there were lump sums sitting there, some of our clients, they wanted to sit on the sidelines and they wanted to wait, but I know we recommended that they start, let's buy when it goes down. Every time it goes down 500 to 1,000 points, let's start buying, because over a long period, you're guaranteed that you just bought something that was on sale. It may not be the bottom, but it's still going to be below where it is in the long-term future. And I know now, if you're looking today at today's market, you've got the S&P, you've got other markets that are all at all-time highs. And if you went all the way back down to 2020 and you were buying at those bottoms and your dollar cost averaging down, you're now looking better by 30 to 70% because the market has gone that much higher in the last 3.5 years. So dollar cost averaging is great. It's not going to beat lump sum as the majority of the time, but it also takes the emotion out of investing. And emotion in investing and overreacting to certainty is really what kills financial plans, because people could have been sitting on the sideline up until right now, and now they're at all-time highs and they're like, oh, well, maybe now I should start putting money away. The market's doing well again. So let's make sure to take that emotion out of investing and just dollar cost average into the market.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Going to take a quick break here. We're coming back.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. We're going to talk about time in the market as opposed to timing the market.
Yes, and there's this institution called Dalbar that does a study every year since 1992, I believe. And so what they've basically done is they've taken a look at what the stock market has performed at, and its index markets, usually just the S&P, and compared that with what the investors' returns are at. And it's quite fascinating. And again, this kind of piggybacks onto what Mitch was just talking about, is the emotion of investors and how they play a role in their actual returns. So Dalbar comes up with a study, and they do it actually for bond funds and balanced funds also. I'll kind of get to the chase here. Bottom line, investors don't do well. Okay. Bottom line, they absolutely do horrible And you know what? And a lot of commercials will sit there and talk, oh, you know, don't pay the investors fees and look what you, and there's one right now by one a competitor. And it's kind of funny. We rarely even come out against them, but it's also, well, you could lose, you know, 25% of your net worth over 30 years by paying all these fees. Well, that's based on a performance that you left your money in the whole time. And that you actually, that's one thing, first of all. And secondly, that managed money did not outperform what their actual products are that are not managed. Those are simply exchange traded funds. Less, so they're basically have the market less a certain fee they're charging. There's nothing to say a managed product would not do at least as well. In fact, history has shown that we've actually outperformed them. So I'm not actually quite sure how they can show these commercials, but they do make a great point. The point being is that a couple percent difference on your return over 30 years has a massive difference on your net worth. And so
You know what, I'd like to add to that, Don, you know,
sure.
because I've seen the commercials that you're talking about, and you know, oh my, what's that? What's that? And then I'm thinking, well, how do those people that are sitting around that campfire know what you know or what Mitch knows or are following this on a day-to-day basis? Because that's a profession, that's a job. So if you're good at doing that, that's what you should be doing for a living and helping other people. You know, like who's got that kind of time and energy to devote to what you guys do 24/7 and then do their own job and live their own life? I mean, if you're going to sit there and be a financial planner all your life, but then why wouldn't you just have that as an occupation if you're that good at it?
Now, what are your thoughts, Mitch?
I mean, I was tinkering around because I was coincidentally, I was asked about fees recently. And I was just tinkering around these websites and seeing the products and what they have to offer. And there's zero financial advice, right? So there's no advisor. These are for a do-it-yourself investor. And it really discounts the service that an actual financial planner does. And I mean, yes, in a great market, and if you're in, or if you're affluent in our knowledge, then yeah, you'll do well and you'll actually benefit from that for sure. But if you don't, how much you're going to put into RSPs? Are you maxing out your TFSAs? There's all of this. Those are just two simple ones. But if you're not doing that, doing any tax planning, well, then you're going to lose out on those fees regardless, right? So
Yeah,
there's zero service to this.
it's absolutely amazing. However, great commercials, and we just recently had a doctor that, you know, joined our company here in terms of a new client, and his parents are clients, and he and the first thing he says, you know, I feel just like that commercial. Are you dealing with dad's advisor? And his thought, and he kind of laughed himself, says, and he says, why wouldn't I? You've got the experience. Look what you've done and helped my father and mother over the last many years. And why wouldn't I want to take that track record to my investment portfolio? So he made a joke of it. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's going to benefit from it. But again, effective commercials, and the ones that are not getting advice, the ones that are getting hurt through all this are the banks. The banks are basically, we're charging very similar fees of what any other advisors were charging, but not giving a lot of advice. And so they are taking a lot of money from the banks and moving it over because they're getting basically almost the same advice. Okay. But they are now charging a little less. So for those, maybe it's a bit better. However, what we're finding and what Dalbar is finding is really that it's not the fees only. Okay, fees are part, okay? But the biggest one is investor behavior, and it is affecting them tremendously. In fact, they're showing that over 3 decades that the average investor is lagging the market by a 3 to 4% a year. That's massive. And this is based on investor behavior. So it's trying to understand this and making choices. And the cost of market timing is absolutely amazing. So from a long-term perspective, you know, patience is extremely important. Unfortunately, what happens is people generally get into a whole lot of behavioral traps, things such as loss aversion. And Mitch talked about, well, okay, the market's going down. And, oh, what should I do now? Probably nothing. Okay, it will go back up. if anything, maybe you want to buy a bit more, but it's not a reaction. In fact, in herding is another one. Well, what ends up happening? We are, I guess it's in our DNA to start talking to friends and so forth. Well, what are you doing? Oh, I got out of the market months ago, or I'm getting into the market. Oh, what about this stock? You know, what about this new Donald Trump stock that's out there? Maybe I should get into that. Oh, okay, well, that went up a lot and then it went down a lot. So herding does not work, and it really leads to a poor financial health at the end of the day. So strategies for optimal returns are following, you know, a well-diversified portfolio. And really, I can't stress this enough, sticking to the long-term plan. So it's kind of interesting that the study of Dalbar, they've gone through many, and they look at this one 30-year study. And so, you know, somebody with $100,000 from 1992 to 2021, okay, December 31st, 2021, and says, okay, if you just put it away and you just got inflation, your 100,000 after these 30 years would be worth 201,000. So basically, at 201,000, you can buy the exact same products and goods and lifestyle as you could 30 years earlier with 100,000. Now, these are US stats, but I'm sure the Canadian ones are similar. Now, the average investor was averaging in equity funds, that is, 7.1%. Hey, pretty good. And this is a US study. The Canadian ones would not have done as well. So their 100,000 has now grown to 789,000. This is fantastic. And this is what we're seeing clients. Look what I've accomplished. Okay. I've got 789,000. My answer to that is it should have been worth 2 million. And they don't particularly like that answer. Okay. But this is fact. And so they'd like to say, okay, look what we've accomplished, but every little mistake and going to that commercial, you can lose 25% of your net worth. Well, you can lose even more by human behavior. So had you just left it in, went to sleep and woke up 30 years later, did nothing, just slept. You woke up and you said, hey, wow, not bad. I've got $2,082,000. Almost triple what you would have had you just put 100,000 in and moved it around all the time. Your average return was 10.7%. So that works out to a 3.6% increase in return. That's way more than any fee is being charged. Okay. So it really makes an interesting point of, okay, what's gone wrong? It's human behavior. And so what Mitch and I have done many times, in fact, we have many charts in our office going. Carl Richards is one person that is a human behaviorist, and he used to work in our industry, and he talks about this all the time, and money and poor performance, and a lot of it has to do with human behavior. Now, it's always that interesting thing. What if you missed the best days? And this is what happens. So there was a chart here that I was able to get from CNBC. And they went through each decade from 1930 all the way in 2020. Okay, in every single decade. And so had you missed the 10 best days every decade, your return was 28%. Well, you would have got 17,000% by just leaving it in. 17,000. But by missing 10 of the best days every single decade. Now, you got to be pretty bad luck to do this. Okay. But if you happen to do that, what a massive difference. Now, the kind of thing, this is the one part that the average investor is looking for is this next stat. What if I missed the worst days of every decade? And I've been looking for this chart for a long time. I just happened to stumble across it. Well, if you happen to be that good and you say, you know what? The apocalypse is happening. I'm going to get out of the worst day and I'm going to put it back in after that worst day happens. And that's what the average investor's thinking. They're thinking they're going to get out and just time it perfectly. If you're that good, your return was 3,793%. Outstanding return. So you can see why people gravitate trying to time the market. hey, well, if I do well and I miss the worst days, I can get almost a 4 million% return. But unfortunately, if I miss the best days, I get a 17, sorry, if I just leave it in, I'll get a 17,000 return. And if I miss the best days, I only get a 28% return. So what happens if you miss both the worst days and the best days? Well, you still end up, you do extremely well, actually, a 27,000% return. Now, I know these are huge numbers and they probably don't mean a lot to you, but if you looked at it in dollar terms, you're on, you started here and you missed the 10 best days, you would end up with, if you stayed the course, you'd end up with over $2 million. Okay, going to back to what I mentioned earlier. Now, if you missed the 10 days, then 10 best days, you're under a million. If you missed the 20 best days, you're down to about 500,000. Now, this is over 30 years. If you missed the best 60 days, which is only 2 months and 30 years, you're down to about 100 grand. 2 million versus 100 grand. Huge difference. And it all comes back down to timing the market, human behavior. And it's frustrating. The markets aren't meant to be easy, okay? They weren't there to be easy. They weren't there to say, stick your money in, go for the ride, stay the course. It sounds so simple until it isn't. And then you see the market go down. And where are the Quest trades and the do-it-yourselfers? Where are they when the market's down? Well, they're not anywhere to be seen because they're sitting there just fretting because they have nobody to talk to. So they actually looked at the study, and this one just came out, and they do this every year. It's done for the last 5 years. What an advisor adds to a person's return. And it's from a Toronto-based Russell Investments in Canada. And they found financial advisors add value of triple the average fee. Now, the average advisory fee is about a 1% fee. Well, it turns out that over time, it's worked out to a 2.88% increase in return because you have an advisor. Okay. Think of that going back to what I was just saying. If you could get an extra couple percent based on having an advisor, you'll end up doing extremely well. So how do you deal this? Well, first of all, you need to have somebody with their CFP. Clients often ask me, okay, what does a CFP entail? It's so much more than simply an investment advisor. Okay, yes, that is part of what we deal with, but we're dealing with cash flow, insurance, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning. So many things that it's, six principles of investing or as a financial planning. And so you take a look at that and you take that and you put that towards a financial plan. So we then help clients from the investment side help diversify their portfolio. We invest in quality companies. Okay, now sounds so easy. It's so easy not to do this, though. You look at what has gone on in the past where people have gravitated to high-flying stocks during the pandemic, and they all went in, or marijuana stocks, or Bitcoin, or have you, all these things that have done extremely well, and then they've come way down. Some have recovered, some haven't, and some are just writing off the losses. Use a discipline approach. Now, the nice thing about this is if you're dealing with an advisor, quite often they're dealing with a managed solution. So they have money invested in areas that the manager of the product is doing all this. So they are hired to be disciplined. You try to be disciplined on what stock you should buy versus which one you shouldn't. You're just one of, you're small potatoes, put it that way. You've got the biggest companies in the world, such as BlackRock, IG, JP Morgan, Bruce Goodman, what have you. All doing the same thing. And they're doing this 24/7 as a do-it-yourselfer. You think you can do better than that? I wouldn't bet on it. Staying patient, extremely important. You just have to just let it go through. And then having realistic expectations. So this one here is quite interesting. I recently went through a client's portfolio last week, actually, and they've been a client for almost 30 years now. And we went through their plan when they retired. It's actually incredible. Now, at the time, rates were a little higher. So we used a 7% rate of return. And they are almost dead on their retirement plan. He is now 83, We went through it all. And says, isn't this amazing that your investment portfolio is almost dead on to what we said it would be? We were only off by, geez, less than 3% difference from what we expected it to be on. And he was the first to admit, says, well, I did do a few extra things that weren't in the plan. I says, I know that. But the whole point is to have a realistic plan that incorporated their whole lifestyle, buying cars, inflation, everything. We looked at this after, and it's so great to see that we're right on track, and he is extremely happy. So again, human behavior can certainly dismantle your plan, and having not having a proper financial planner will also do the same.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. Call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Going to take a quick break here. We're coming back.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Breaking some myths about insurance, we're going to this segment.
Yeah, for sure. A very common thing that mostly among young people is that life insurance is for older people. And most young people feel that they're young and they don't really need to start paying for something such as life insurance. And it's very easy to feel this way. People in their 20s and 30s, they definitely don't feel like they need life insurance as they're young, healthy, and probably in the prime of their healthy lives. Most recently, you do think of something such as COVID that people might have wanted to have some life insurance at that time, and that might have made people start to go get life insurance. So many younger people carrying student debt, school's very expensive, and sometimes this can take many years to pay down. So if you don't have life insurance to cover that, then that's going to be also passed down to your family. So one myth here is that you don't need life insurance if you're young and healthy. And this is one of the biggest things holding young people back from getting life insurance. They have no health issues and they're thinking it's too early in their life to get life insurance, when in reality, this is when people should be getting life insurance. Once you're diagnosed with something, if it's bad, it's too late at that time to actually get qualified for life insurance. And, or if it's not going to rule you out of life insurance, your premiums may be significantly higher. So the time to get life insurance is when you are young, you are healthy, and you're not a big risk, because that's when life insurance companies will insure you for a lower cost. So it's beneficial to get the life insurance early before any of these health complications come into play. Playing the waiting game, it may be too late by the time you end up getting life insurance. The second myth here is that stay-at-home parents, they don't need life insurance. Lots of younger people and newly married couples do not have kids. And in most cases, they're both working. This would be the best time to get life insurance. The premiums will be more managed as you're both working. If you decide to have kids, you'll be older, which means the premiums may increase. But even if a stay-at-home parent passes away, the cost of replacing the childcare and the other household duties can be very costly. Being a stay-at-home parent it's a big job. You need life insurance just in case something was to happen to you, to take care of that burden if the stay-at-home parent was to pass away. Next myth here is they're single. You don't need life insurance. Even if you are single, you don't want to leave any debts for your family to have to pay for. If something were to happen, you could be leaving behind student loans, car loans, a mortgage, or a credit card debt that you could be burdening your parents or other family members with if something were to happen. So when people are young and the premiums usually not very costly, for a relatively small fee, all these debts can be covered. So there's no risk for any of these financial burdens to be passed down to any of your family members. The next myth here is my employer's life insurance is enough. Employer life insurance policies, they're great and it's better than nothing, but many times it's not going to be enough coverage for everything. It's usually just a blanket coverage. and they don't typically go through what you actually need to be covered for. So that's a misconception that if you do have employer life insurance, that that's really all you need. And this also does apply to disability insurance as well. Lots of people say that they have disability through work. You can get topped up for more disability through another life insurance provider because they might not be covering you for enough that you actually need as well. So many many companies will offer 1 to 3 times your employee's base salary for life insurance, but that's not typically enough to pay for your final expenses, outstanding debts, mortgages, as well as future income loss for your family. The income loss is really the big one, especially if we were just talking about a stay-at-home parent. If you're the sole bread earner and you are if you pass away and you don't have significant life insurance, that income loss for your family through work may not be enough if you actually get an outside of work policy. And getting a top-up policy when you're already you know you're going to qualify, it's a good thing to get while you're nice and healthy. So make sure that you're getting that as well as your one through work. One other misconception here is life insurance is too expensive. Many young people do not know how insurance actually works, and they think it's going to be expensive, and they just don't need it. Well, this is actually the opposite. Insurance will never be as affordable as it is when you are young. It's only going to get more expensive. It's not like car insurance. If you're a good driver, your premiums get reduced, but life insurance does not work that way. The insurance companies evaluate how big a risk you are based on your life, based on your health. So your health is only going to decline as you get older. It's not going to get better. So as you age, your risk becomes greater to the life insurance companies, which means that your premiums are actually going to go up. So as you are young, get your life insurance now and get it put in place, especially if you just, I know a lot of people in their 30s, low 30s, high 20s, they're getting into these houses and they're getting into these houses without any life insurance to cover that mortgage. That's a big time just to get, it's a cheap life insurance. I know I went through a policy the other day for a 29-year-old and it was about $50 a month for $1 million of term insurance just to cover his mortgage and some income loss too. So it's not expensive. You don't have to get a whole life policy. That's just a term policy, and it really does have a purpose in place.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Quick break here. We're coming back.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox are here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. Call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. All right, that time of the year, tax tips, even for those that are lazy.
Yes, everybody. You know what? You can't get around paying tax or filling out a tax form, except, of course, if they cancel that form being necessary, such as the bare trust. But I don't think they're going to be, canceling this income tax deadline as the April 30th deadline approaches. So, take a look at your situation. For a single person, unfortunately, as a single, there's no really unique tax credits for a single person. So, if you own a home, you can possibly write off, you get some credits for, property tax and so forth. But there's no income splitting, of course. So really, for a single person, the most important thing to look at for a tax deduction would be an RSP. Even more reason is you're relying on your income only. So unless you end up getting married or common law down the road, it's you. You're 100% self-reliant. So RSPs are an excellent way to provide a pension for yourself, particularly for those single people that are not part of a defined benefit plan, And you look at the options, check your employer out. This is the one thing, and it's kind of interesting, as Mitch was talking about life insurance for the younger people. It's amazing how many young people do not take advantage of employer matching RSPs. And any kind of group coverage there. And so you look at any kind of matching, even if they match 20% of what you put in. You put in $1,000, they put in $200. That's part of your wages. And that part, you can't get a better return than whatever is giving to you free. There's no financial plan. And if your financial planner suggests that you should be dealing with it themselves rather than matching it through a group coverage, change financial planners, okay? Because you cannot do better than an employer matching. So then you're off to the self-employed. Now, self-employed, it's kind of interesting. They have so many hats to wear. And the one they probably want to wear the least is the accounting hat, and to manage and watch their expenses and keep all their expenses organized, because they're trying to keep in business. They're simply, you know, they certainly know what their expenses are, but they're trying to get revenue. They're trying to grow business and employees and everything else. So for the self-employed, the first thing is you got to get a system. Keep all your expenses extremely organized. And for your car, one of the things the government loves to check over is your mileage log. Now, so if you have kept your mileage log accurate for 2 years, they will look at that. But you do need to have at least two consecutive years of a mileage log, because they will go back on that, and it's easy pickings for Revenue Canada. Seniors. What seniors often miss, first thing is would be the disability tax credit. Unfortunately, with age, and again, having parents in their 80s, we witness this all the time, is, and you know, good for them. They want to believe that they can still do a lot of things that maybe they can't. And yet, they could qualify for the disability tax credit. And it's significant. It can save about $1,800 a year, every year that you are alive. And you can, in fact, they'll go back to where it started. Okay, so if it went back 5 years ago, you had some type of disability and you hadn't claimed for it yet, you can go back for those 5 years and you'll get this lump sum check. So definitely apply. There's no harm in applying, by the way. The worst thing they can do is turn you down. And you have to go to your doctor to fill in a form for that. The home accessibility tax credit this year, you can claim up to $20,000 to make your home more accessible for your disability. And this can receive up to a $3,000 tax credit. So again, but you'd have to be over 65, but that's a great option that maybe a lot of seniors aren't aware. If, you know, for example, wheelchair accessibility, things such as that. A very popular one would be changing their tub into a more accessible shower tub, et cetera, that type of thing. The first time taxpayer, if you've never filed an income tax form before, you know, don't fret it. Nobody expects you to be a pro. The rules change all the time. Probably best just to grab some type of income tax software and go through it. It's not that hard, particularly if you have a T4 slip. Snowbirds can be complicated, especially do not go over the 182 days. And there's a form you have to file with the US government every year if you're even going to spend close to that. So make sure you're up to that. But one thing I do find snowbirds forget about often to claim as a medical deduction or a credit rather, would be their travel insurance. So that's a very large one. As you age, the insurance gets quite high, and therefore you need to put that on your tax return. For the recently widowed, this would be your last chance to income split. So get that done properly. And from there on in, this is where you need a good financial planner to work out tax bracket management to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. And it's unfortunate, income splitting is a huge tax savings. So going forward, you're going to lose one old age security, perhaps, as part of a Canada pension plan. And finally, for the lazy tax preparers out there, I can just say, get your tax return done in time. Do not pay the penalty and do not pay interest. Go seek anybody to go get your tax return done. It'll probably pay you to get it done. And that's it.
All right, we have been planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Don Fox and Mitch Fox have been here from Fox Group Private Wealth Management. You can find out more at donfox.net. You can call them at IG Private Wealth Management at 905-972-7420. Thank you, gentlemen. Another great show. We'll chat again next week.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.